Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevamos Daf Chav Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah, which is 10 lines from the top. Mitzvah Bagadol Liyabim. Ideally, the eldest brother should do the Yibim, whether he's the Bechor or next in line. The oldest surviving brother should be the one who does the Yibim. We learn this from the pasuk coming up in the Gemara soon. So that's ideal. L'chatchila, the gadol. Vim kadam ha-katan zocha. Suppose the younger one stepped in and did the Yibam. He has fulfilled the mitzvah. He was zoche in the mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan. V'hoya b'chor. Now the pasuk reads as follows. V'hoya b'chor shateleid. The pasuk here is describing what happens by Yibam. So Yibam takes place, and the b'chor asher teleid. Yakum al shem ochav hames. I'm just reading the entire pasuk inside. So the b'chor born will be named, so to speak, after the departed brother. V'lo yimachash ma b'Yisrael, which ensures that that fellow has continuity. His legacy is perpetuated. So the simple meaning of this pasuk would seem to indicate that we're speaking about the son born through the Yibum process. So this new son, which we call Bechor, will be given a name after the departed brother. So he's named after his own father. But the Gemara will tell us that we divert, so to speak, the pasuk from the simple meaning, and we darshan, we apply a drasha as follows. V'hoya Bechor is a reference to the brother who does the Yibum, the oldest one, the Bechor. He is meant to approach the Yivam and do Yibam. Mikan she mitzvah b'gadol liyabim. We learn that the Gadol is meant to do the Yibam. Asher teled. We learn from here that a Yivam only falls liyibam if she has potential to give birth. Prat la'ilanis, as opposed to an ilanis who is unfit for giving birth. She'en yoledes, and therefore there's no point in being miyabim her. The whole purpose is to continue the legacy, perpetuate his memory, to continue the mishpah. She can't give birth. Pasuk continues. Yakum al shem achiv. So he will be given the, he will stand, he will be named after the brother. We learn from here that it's a reference to the fact that the miyabim, the yavim who does the yavim, will now inherit the estate of his departed brother, Lenachla. Ata Omer Lenachla. You suggest that it's teaching us about Nachla. So he takes over the Nachla, the property of his departed brother. Perhaps we're speaking literally that the newborn son will be given a name after his departed father, the fellow that died without children. If his name was Yosef, Kernos Yosef, we give the newborn child the name Yosef after his father, Yochanan, if that was his name, Kernos Yochanan. The child now is given the name Yochanan. And that, in effect, perpetuates his legacy. How do we know it's not so? How do we know to interpret the pasuk in the manner which you did? That Yochanan Hashem Achav L'Nachla means that the Miyavim will now acquire the estate left behind by his departed brother. And the answer is Nemar Kan Yokum Al Shem Achav. Here we have the Lashon Yokum Al Shem Achav. V'nevo Lahalan, and elsewhere we have Al Shem Acheyem Yikoru B'Nachlosim. Ephraim and Manasseh will be treated equally in terms of inheritance, in terms of Nachla, like the other Shevatim. And we learn Ma shame ha'amr lahal nachl. Just like the word shame in that context is a reference to inheritance, av shame ha'amr kan lanachl. Here as well, yokum al shame achiv is in a nachl context. The pasuk continues, v'lo yimachish my Yisrael, which indicates that the whole reason for Yibum is to continue his shame, continue his family. Prat l'sriz sheshmei mach, as opposed to a fellow who passed away, and this fellow was a saris, experiencing a medical condition which didn't allow him to have children. In any case, his name was, so to speak, erased from the start. There's no point to make Yibum. Amar Rav, Afagav de B'chol HaTorah Kula, interesting point. Even though elsewhere, throughout the entire Torah, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuta, we know that certainly there is Drash, there is Remes, there is Soid, but at the end of the day, a Pasuk has a simple meaning as well, which could be understood by a five-year-old, Ben Chamash Lamikra. Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuta. So in conjunction with Drash, we also have the simple meaning as well. But over here, in our sugya, it's done differently. It's an exception. Hacha, asoy gzereshava, the gzereshava that we just applied, comes along and has afikte mipashti legamri, will divert the pasuk from its simple meaning entirely. Yakam l'shem achiv has nothing to do with naming children. It has to do with the yavam, acquiring the nachla of the departed fellow. Vilav gzereshava. Asks the Gemara, do you mean without the Gzeres Shava, Hava Mina Shame Shame Mamash? We would interpret the word shame as a reference to literally naming the child after the departed fellow. Is that a Hava Mina? How could you even suggest that? It wouldn't work. The wording in the Pasuk would not work. Laman Kamaza Rahman, because to whom? Who is the Torah instructing? Who is the Torah speaking to? Liyavam? The fellow doing the Yibum? Name your child after your brother? Well then, Yakam al Shem Achicha Miboyle. Should say, name him after your brother. Not al Shem Achiv, third person. We're speaking to the Yavam. You name him after your brother, Achicha. That doesn't work. Ila Beidina, if the Pasuk speaking to the Bezdin, well then it should say, Yakam al Shem Achi Aviv Miboyle. The child should be given a name after the brother of his father. So how would we theoretically ever think of learning the pasuk kipshutoi in a simple form? Perhaps the pasuk is telling Bezdin like this, instructing the Bezdin. Imrulay, tell him, liyavim, tell the yavim, you tell the yavim, you be in charge of telling the yavim that he should name his newborn child after his brother Yakum al Shem Achim. So it makes sense to refer to him as in third person because, after all, we're speaking to Bezdin. You tell the Yavam to take care of the child, give him a name after his brother. Theoretically, we can learn the Pasuk this way, but we don't. Ela, so Gzereshava, apikte legamrei. The Gzereshava that we applied will now divert the Pasuk entirely. It's not speaking about giving names. It's speaking about Nachla. Okay, continues the Gemara. Once we know that the Pasuk Bahaya Bacher is a reference to the oldest brother who does the Yibam, Ema, perhaps we'll say like this. We have several kashas on this Gemara, on this halach. Ema, maybe we'll say, look, Bacher Liyabim, only if we have an actual Bacher, a firstborn, Bahaya Bacher, you need a Bacher for Yibam. Pashat like Liyabim, but if he's anything else other than a firstborn son, he can't do Yibam. Even if he's the oldest one around. You need a Bechor? That can't be. In Cain, because if it were so, we'll have a Kasha. Eishas Achiv Shaloi Haya Bay Lamai. Demiyet Rachman Alamali. We all know that there's something called Eishas Achiv Shaloi Haya Bay Lamai. Reuben passed away without children, and then a new brother is born. That new brother cannot be Miyabim Eishas Achiv, with whom he had no interaction. He never saw him. They never lived together at the same time. Why does the Torah have to tell you that he can't do Yibam? In any case, he's not a Bechor. Evidently, you don't need a Bechor for Yibam. Paruch Rav Ach asks Rav Acha, Ve'ema lemuti Bechor de'ima. Maybe you need a Bechor. But even a Bechor to his mother conforms. So you can have a case where it's a newcomer. A new brother arrives, but he's still a Bechor to his mother. Reuven was a Bechor to his father. He passed away. Now, the mother had a new son here who happens to share a father with Reuven as well. But this fellow, Shimon, is now a firstborn to his mother. He's a Bechor to some extent. And I would think perhaps he does Yibam. No, but he doesn't because he's a newcomer. He's a Eishas Achiv Shaloi Hayibay Lamed. But perhaps you need a Bchar. At least some element of Bchar, whether to mother or to father. But if one is lacking any Bchar attribute at all, then he's not Roy for Yibam. How do we know that's not so? Answers the Gemara. Hahula Matzis Amris. You can't even suggest that a Bchar is a precondition. Why? The Yibam Benachla Tal Rachmana. Sorry, you can't say that Bechor to his mother would be adequate. You know why? Because Yibam Benachla Tal Rachmana, as we explained, that the Yibam takes over the Nachla of his departed brother. Benachla Min Av Le Min Aim. The whole concept of Nachla, of inheritance, is strictly related to father's family, not mother's family. A Bechor to his father gets double. Two portions in the inheritance. A b'char to his mother doesn't. So, when the pasuk speaks about a b'char doing the yibam, we're speaking about a b'char who has b'char privileges pertaining to nachla. After all, it's the whole point of yibam: take over his life, take over his family, take over his nachla. And we mentioned Bechor in that context. Apparently we're speaking about a Bechor that relates to Nachla. It only works if it's a Bechor to his father. So in any case, we've proven our point. Not only a Bechor will do Yibam, any brother can do Yibam, from the fact that the Torah has to exempt an Eishes Achiv Shelo Hayo Be'olam, a newcomer, who's not a Bechor in any case. Why do we have to rule him out? In any case, he's disqualified. Apparently, even a non-Bechor can theoretically do Yibam. Ve'ima, perhaps we'll say, Ki'ika Bechor Tiskai Mitzvah Yibam. Maybe. The Torah means like this. When there is a Bechor present, so the system is in place, you have a Bechor, you have a second brother, third, you have a Bechor here, then Tiskai Mitzvah Yibam, you can do Yibam. Even the other brother can do it. Okay, like a b'char, but there's no b'char present at all. Like this guy, mitzvah, yibam wouldn't apply at all. It's such a havamina. Perhaps yibam only applies when there is a b'char in the arrangement here. Although he doesn't have to do it, but he has to be here to facilitate yibam. Pasuk says, v'yay b'char. It needs to be done in the presence of a b'char. Answers the Gemara Makor. The pasuk says, "Umeis echad mehem." One of the brothers passes away. So you have Reuven, who's a bechor, and Shimon, who's not a bechor. And the pasuk says, "One of them passed away, and Yibam has applied." Bilei Askinesh. We now assume, speaking, even the mis bechor, Reuven the bechor passed away. Vamar Achman Aliyabim Katan. The pasuk says, "Shimon will do the Yibam." So you see, even when there's no bechor at all, Yibam is activated. Ve'ema the mis Katan. Maybe Shimon passed away. Vamar Achman Aliyabim bechor. And here the Torah says Reuven should do Yibam. Because Yibam only happens when there's a Bechor here. That can't be. We already had a Torah today, Akash. Hoy miyat rachmana, eishes achiv, shloi hoye bay lamay. The Torah already told us that even a newcomer, a new brother who arrives later, can't theoretically do Yibam, if not for the fact that he didn't see, he was loy hoye bay lamay. But other than that, if not for that requirement of living together and seeing each other, the fact that he's younger in the family would not disqualify him from Yibam. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Bechor, and Shimon comes later. After Reuven passes away, theoretically Shimon can do Yibam, if not for the fact that he's Lo Hayo Bei Lama. It's pretty clear that even without a Bechor, Yibam is activated. Asks the Gemara. Mishnah says that mitzvah begadol yavim, bid the eved, even a younger brother can jump in and do the yibam. Maybe that's only when you don't have the older brother around. But v'ika b'chor, but let's say the b'chor is here, it's his right, it's his privilege, it's his chus. Nobody can take it away. Kadam katan lo zachad, even the katan jumps in and does the yibam, doesn't work. Amakra, The answer is the pasuk says kiyesh v'achim yachdav. The brothers will live together. We learn from here that we equate the brothers. They all have equal privilege. Huksha yeshivas achim zelazeh. All brothers are created equal. They have an equal right, equal ability to do yibum. So although l'chatchila we prefer the older brother, but b'diavad everybody can actually do it. Asks the Gemara. Maybe it's specific to Bukhar. Or the other one who jumps in, but there's no concept of older brother. A non-Bukhar older brother doesn't have extra privileges. Ve'ema perhaps will say, ki ike Bukhar, when we have a Bukhar, a firstborn, lihadar agadol, we prefer that he does the yibum. Ki like a Bukhar, but there's no Bukhar here. Let's say the Bukhar passed away, or the first one was a girl, so you don't have a Bukhar. Ein chayzrin etzel gadol, you don't prefer the next in line. Allah matani abay kishisha. Why does abay teach us in a brisa? Mitzvah bagadol yabim. Ideally, the oldest one should do yibum. Loi ratza, but if he refuses, hoyolchem etzel achiv hakotam, we go to the next in line. If not him, we go to the next one. So on and so forth down the line. Clearly, we prefer the more older one. Even if he's not the oldest. So it's not either oldest or anybody. We go down the list. From oldest to youngest. Loi ratza, if the youngest one doesn't want to do the yibum, then we go back to square one, and we offer chalitza to the oldest brother. Chayzrin eitz l'godol, so he can do chalitza. In any case, how do we know that's true? That we go from oldest to youngest. Maybe it's either oldest or anybody. Kibchur, it's a svara. We compare it to a bachur. Ma bachur, just like bachur is special, is unique, in a sense that bachur rasa garmali, he's the firstborn, he's the head of the family, therefore he gets priority. Avgada, likewise, the next in line, gidulasa garmali, in fact he's the next in line, he's the oldest of the remaining brothers. That gives him extra rights and extra privileges, and we prefer that he takes over. Asks the Gemara, Ve'ema perhaps will say, Kimiyabim Bukhar, if the actual Bukhar does the Yibum Lishkol Nachla, he will take over the estate of his departed brother Kimiyabim Pashas, but if anybody else does the Yibum, a non Bukhar, like Lishkol Nachla, he can't get Nachla because the Pasik, which assigns Nachla rights to the Yavam, is speaking about a Bukhar. Ve'ya Bukhar Shatelid Yakim Al Shemachav Amis. How do we know it applies to a pasha, to a non-bachar, to an ordinary brother who does yibum? Amakro, the pasuk says, Yachem al shem hachiv. He gets his brother's nachla. Very come. The fact is, he established himself as one who perpetuated his legacy. He took over his family. He was miyavim the wife. It's not limited to bachar. Anybody who does it will get the nachla rights. If so, vela bukhar de kayrachmana lama yochasa. So why to begin with? Does the pasuk even describe the yavam as being a bukhar? It's seemingly pointless to refer to him as a bukhar if in any case it applies to any brother. Rashi says it should have said lichtav gadol. The gadol does the yavam. The oldest, second to oldest, third to oldest. There's no point of mentioning the word bukhar. Answers the Gemara Griusa, actually to his detriment. We compare the Yavam to Bukhar. Why? In what way? Ma Bukhar einay noytel baroike b'muchzak. Just as a Bukhar who takes double portion in his father's inheritance only takes something which his father actually had in possession. Muchzak. Because remember, the point of a Bukhar is that he's the one who takes over, so to speak, for his father. So he gets double portion of the nachla. He's the primary yerush. It only applies to something which his father actually had in his possession. But he doesn't get double nachla privileges in something which was roy, something which was destined to arrive. Somebody owed him money, etc. That doesn't work. Afhai, likewise, by the yavam, who is tagged as bechor, has a similar halacha. When he takes over his brother's nachla, it only applies to something which he actually had in his possession, but not something which was coming to him. So the bottom line is, Mishnah tells us that the bechor or the gadol should do the yibum, but the avid, even the katan, the zeicha, this is based on a pasuk which says, "V'hoya bechor asher teled yakum al shem achav ames v'lo yimachash shemam Yisrael," and the drasha is as follows: Vayabchar mitzvah begadol. The gadol is meant to do the yibum. Lichatchil. Asher teilet excludes the isha who's an islandess who in any case could not have had children. Yochem al shem. Achiv teaches us that he takes over the nachla. But as we conclude, dafka is something which his brother actually had in his possession. V'liyimach ha-shemayim Yisrael excludes a fellow who was a saris to begin with, who couldn't have children. When he passes away, his wife does not go through the yibum process. Continues the Mishnah. Ha-niton ala shifcha v'nishtachrer. Suppose this fellow was the subject of a rumor that he interacted inappropriately with his shifcha v'nishtachrer, and after she was set free. Or a similar type of rumor involving himself and a non-Jewish woman, and then she converts. He shouldn't go ahead and marry her, because in effect he is sort of substantiating and confirming that inappropriate rumor. You're not meant to do that. To solidify the chashad, suspicion, which was aroused on him. But the evidence, if he marries, we don't force them to separate. As opposed to Anitan al Eshes Ish, suppose he was the subject of a rumor of impropriety with an Eshes Ish. And as a result of this incident, they had to force her out of her husband's domain. So there was Reuven, there was Shimon. Shimon was the suspect, one suspected of acting inappropriately with Rachel, Reuven's wife, and on account of that, they had to divorce. If Shimon should go ahead and marry Rachel, even if he actually was kanas, he has to separate. Let's go to Rashi, five lines from the top. Masnis. Ha nitan choshet kolay mashetoyinin olav divrei las. There are rumors circulating about improper behavior between himself and this isha. Lo yisa ena, he shouldn't proceed, he shouldn't marry her. Mishum las. You don't want to create rumors. Shal yaymur emas hoya kolarish. He doesn't want to solidify. He shouldn't confirm those suspicions. But b'di'evit, he doesn't have to separate. As opposed to Anitan al Ishes Ish v'tzi'ua, be'ezdim mitachas bala b'shvil zeh, she'asru ala, v'alach zeh b'nasa. On account of this fellow, be'ezdim forced her husband to give her a get because of her inappropriate behavior. Then Shimon goes and marries her. That's terrible. Yoitzi, he has to give her a get. D'mid'ayraisa asur nami l'boil. Here, at Minatir, she may not marry Shimon, the fellow who interacted with her. Who's mezana with her? The darshina v'nitma shnei pa'amim echad l'baal v'echad l'baal masechas seita. Just like she can't stay with her husband after she's mezana, she can't live with the perpetrator as well. So here, even with the b'di'evit, if Shimon marries her, yoytzi. Continues the Gemara. We're going to go a bit off track and discuss the halachas of geiris. Hag geiris mi'ahavya. So we had a case of a avedis kechavim who had an interest in a Jewish fellow, and she was Ms. Geyer. It seems that marrying this fellow was her primary motive. It was her motivating factor in bringing her to Geyeris. Hageyeris me'ahavya? So you shouldn't marry her, but it would seem that the Geyeris is valid. It was a valid conversion. But Ramini v'avakashma b'raisa, where we seem to learn otherwise. Echad ish, shin is Geyer l'shem isha. Whether it's a non-Jewish man who converted in order to marry a Jewish woman, or the other way around, v'echad isha shen is gair l'shem ish. V'chein, likewise, mishen is gair l'shem shulcha melachem. A fellow became a gair in order to get his allotment from the king to join the royal palace, l'shem avdi shleimai, to serve in Shleimai Melech's palace. These fellows were highly regarded men of prominence. So he's motivated by these external ulterior motives, Einon Gerim, his conversion is invalid. It has to be totally L'shem Shemayim. Divrei Rabbi Nechemya, Shehoyer Nechemya Omer, Nechemya would say as follows, Echot Gerei Arayis, those Kusim, Rashi says, who converted because of the animals, the lions, that Hashem let out on them, and on account of the fear of those Arayis, they became Gerim. That's not a valid Gerus. Or if he became a ger as a result of a dream, Rashi says, Baal Chalomis, Omer Lem Lizgair, the Sar, the Malach, in charge of dreams, gave him instructions, go become a Jew. That doesn't work. Ve'echad gave him Mordechai ve'Esther, all those non-Jews who converted in the time of Mordechai ve'Esther out of fear. Einon gerim, it's not a valid gerus. Achi is gairu b'zman hazeh, unless they convert nowadays when we're lowly and downtrodden. And they're attracted by their desire to connect Hashem's religion, Hashem's nation. B'zman hazeh sakadaitech, I mean, literally only nowadays. What happened to all the gerim throughout history? Rashi brings an example of Nebuzaradan, which the Gemara in Gittin says. He became a ger and wasn't b'zman hazeh, and it worked. Elayim ki b'zman hazeh. He means just that it has to be similar to nowadays when things aren't going well for us, meaning that their motivation is l'shem shemayim. So how could the Mishnah say that this Oved Tzkechavim, who was in the Zgair for marriage, her gerus is valid? Haven't we learned pshat? And haven't we had this additional clause, Amar Bitzchak or Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei D'Rab, that we conclude otherwise? The halacha does not follow Rav Nechemya. Halacha kedivre Eimer kulam gerim heim, we follow the shita, that all these cases are considered gerus. We don't accept l'chatchila, we prefer not. It's not the ideal, but b'di'evet, it's a gerus. And that's why now Mishnah, it's a gerus. Yachil chatchila nami, if that's the case, then she's a proper gerus, why can't he just marry this Eved Tzkechavim with whom he interacted beforehand? The answer is nothing to do with the fact that she's not a ger. It's due to Rav Asi, Mishum de Rav Asi. Right? So Yochel Chatchila Nami, why can't he marry? Mishum de Rav Asi, don't Rav Asi. Hoser mimcha akshus pe velazus vasai. One is not meant to generate and feed into rumors of impropriety. And by going ahead and marrying this woman, he's basically confirming the fact that he interacted with her beforehand inappropriately. Lazus Fasayim is something you meant to keep away from. And that's the theme in our mission. Tanur Rabbanon, once we're on the topic of Gerus, says the Braisa, Ein Mekablan Gerim L'Maisa Mashiach. We don't accept Gerim when Mashiach arrives. K'yaytzeboy, in similar fashion, Loi Kiblu Gerim, Loi Bimei David, Loi Bimei Shlomo, in days of David and Shlomo, when Klai Yisrael on top of the list, Cholesterol was riding high. We didn't accept Gerim. Amar Beleza Mikra. Where do we find this in a pasuk? That we are selective when it comes to accepting Gerim. Hein Gor Yogur Efes Moisi Migor Itach Alayich Yipol Av Idach Lai. Explains Rashi off to the left. The pasuk in Yishayir and Dalad. Hein Gor, says Rashi, Haboli is Gair. If one wishes to become a Ger, Yogur Efes Me'oisi. You should come when Kal Yisrael is experiencing hardship. Efes Me'oisi. Bo'ich Einani Yimochem. Kaviyochal, when Hashem is not with us. Efes Me'oisi. He's Gair. Then let us see if he comes. Da'ayinim Ezman Hazeh. Now we know he really means it sincerely. Migor Itach Alayach Yipol. Migor Itach, says Rashi Bani Yusach. Kasher Mart. A fellow who joins you when things are going tough. He will rest with you. He'll have a share with you for eternity. Yopal means Yanuach, rest with you. Kmoya al pnei kolechav nafal yibam mitzitchel. So bottom line is, we pass on Allah lemaisa. Lechatchila, we don't accept when we see there's something else driving this person, but b'di'evad it's a gerus. In the Mishnah, we don't marry you because it sort of solidifies the inappropriate rumor, and therefore we don't want to confirm that chashad and chashash hasim imcha akshus pev lazas vasayim. Continues the Gemara. In the second part of the Mishnah we had anitan alishas ish. So there was a rumor circulating about this fellow interacting with an ashes ish, a married woman. As a result, she had to leave her husband, as Rashi explained in the Mishnah, v'nitma, twice, in the case that she has to leave her current, her present husband, and she cannot marry that fellow as well. And therefore she left him. Even if this fellow goes and marries her, but the evidence, he has to get rid of her. Amar Avu Be'edim. This halacha, that this choshed, this suspected fellow who marries her, has to separate from her. That's only if the rumor was generated through Edim. They actually saw an avera being done. They saw this news. But just a plain rumor, that is not sufficient grounds for dismissal. Omar of Sheshes, how can he say that? Amina, I'm figuring Kinayim v'shachiv Rav. When Rav was dozing off, Omar lai Shmaita, that's when he said this halacha. It's actually a praiseworthy comment because, in effect, what he's saying is, Rav, this isn't up to your standards. I expect much better of you. This halacha is incorrect. We're not speaking at the word Edom. How do I know? The Sani, listen to this braisa. Hanitan leishish ish. So this fellow was a subject. The subject of a rumor that he engaged improperly with the Eshesish. Vaitziyom al yodai, and because of that, her original husband had to give her a get. Now, Rachel was married to Reuven, and there was some improper behavior between herself and Levi. Reuven had to give her a get, and then she married Shimon. And something happened there, he passed away, or he divorced her. Now Levi wants to step in and marry her. Im konas layotzi. If Levi married Rachel, he's not forced to separate from her. Oh. So we're speaking that somebody came in between. Reuven was the first husband. He had to be megarisher because of the improper behavior on account of his wife. But it wasn't Levi, the culprit, who stepped in. It was Shimon, total stranger, who married her in the interim. Then something happened. They separated. Now Levi wants to marry. He shouldn't do it, but if he does, it works. Well, Yoitzi is not forced to separate. End quote. That's the price. So what's the kasha on Rav? Hey, Chidami, what are we speaking about? What was the basis for the concern to begin with? Idik Edim, if there were two Edim testifying that Rachel was Mezana while she was married to Reuven, Kiyasa Acher Ve'afske L'kola Mayhavi. What good is it? What benefit do we have from Shimon stepping in and marrying her after Reuven gets rid of her? The fact is, we have Edom, that Rachel interacted with Levi inappropriately while she was married to Reuven, which makes her off limits to Levi forever. Who cares if Shimon married her in between? El lav leka Edom. Apparently don't know Edom here. We had just a rumor spread about it. And that's why Reuven had to get rid of her. Why is it that we allow Levi to stick with her? Because there was somebody in between. Shimon came in the way. He married her in the way. Between Reuven and Levi. Which sort of weakens the suspicion. In fact, she didn't go straight to Levi. She married Shimon. It takes away the bite of the coil of the rumor that she had some sort of relationship with Levi. And that's why we allow Levi to stay with her. After Shimon's passing, or Shimon divorced her, Levi married her, we allow it to stick with him. But otherwise, if he wouldn't have that Shimon factor intersecting between Reuven and Levi, she went straight from Reuven to Levi, mafkina, we force her out of Levi, because he's pretty much confirming the fact that he had some sort of relationship with her. Clearly, even without Edom, mafkina, we force her out. There's a kasha on Rav, who says that it's only a concern when we have Edom. Omalach Rav responds as follows. You know what? Hu adin afgav, da afgav da lo yosa acha v'afske l'kola. Even if there is no Shimon coming and breaking a party, interrupting the rumor, so to speak, even without that, it would not be a concern if there were no Edom here regarding the original offense. Iika Edom afkinan, if there are Edom here testifying about the original offense, mafkinan, we force her away. We force her out of Levi's life. Ilaka Edom, if there are no Edom, le mafkinan, we don't force her out. Because only when we have Edom do we really have a concern to the extent that we can actually force Levi and Rachel to separate. Vachik Omar, the Brisa meant like this. So there's no Edom in this case. We only have a koil, a rumor, a very bad rumor. Now Levi interacted with Rachel. But we're speaking about Lechatchila. Lechatchila, even in this case, Levi shouldn't be marrying her. And the Chiddush is, even if Shimon came in the way, she went from Reuven, not to Levi, to Shimon, which sort of weakens the effect of the koil, weakens the effect of the chashad. Why did she go to Shimon instead of Levi? So it takes away the bite of the suspicion that she interacted with Levi. Still, even in this case, the also acher v'afskil l'kol, Shimon came along and broke apart terminated, so to speak, the rumor, lechatchila leichna, is still no, we don't allow her lechatchila to marry late. So there's two things here. There's lechatchila and b'diavad. Lechatchila, Levi shouldn't be interacting with the Isha altogether. Whether she's coming straight from Reuven or by way of Shimon, keep away. Rav was speaking about b'diavad. Mishnah says if Levi married her, he has to separate. That's only, says Rav, when there were Edom, that there was something wrong. But a koil is not enough to create that severe concern and that severe consequence. Meisve, here comes another kash. When do we apply this halacha? That if this fellow, who we call the nit'an, right, the subject of the rumor, marries her, does he have to actually separate? K'she'en lo bonim. When the original husband, Reuven, had no children with this isha. Aval yesh lo bonim. Let's say Reuven has children. Rachel bore him children. In this case, we have to be extra sensitive to those children and maintain their dignity and maintain their yuchas. So now if she left Reuven and she married Levi, we don't force her out of Levi. Why? You know why? Because if we force her out, basically what we're saying is that we're confirming that something went wrong. We're casting suspicion. More than suspicion. We're making it very real that there was an avera done when she was still married to Reuven, and we're stigmatizing these children. We're making them sort of into mamzerim. So when there are children here, we're extra sensitive, extra careful. And even if Levi married Rachel after leaving Reuven, she married Levi, lo yiseitze, she doesn't leave him. We don't want to confirm the rumors. We don't want to substantiate the suspicion which will affect the children. But vimbo eidet tumah. Let's say they were really edim here, relating the fact that there was tumah between Levi and Rachel while Rachel was married to Reuven. Then we have no choice. Afilu yesh lo kama banim teitz, even there are many children here, and that are going to be affected by the edict. Still teitze, she has to leave Levi. Clearly, the halach of teitze applies even by a rumor. When there are children, we're extra sensitive, and we only apply it with edim. But even a rumor can force her out of Levi. If there are no children, the children factor is non-existent. It's a kashan Rav who tells us that the only time she has to leave Levi is if there were Edom about that Avera. Answers the Gemara. You're right. There's no machlokes here. Rav muki lo lemasnisim. Yesh lo Edom, yesh lo bonim, yesh lo Edom. Bottom line is, if we have the children factor, we only reckon with the rumor if there were Edom. To no children, then even just a plain rumor generates the same concern. And Rav learned that Al-Mishnah speaking, that there were children, and therefore we only apply this halacha when they're eight. Simple as that. Theoretically, he agrees that even a rumor generates concern, but when there are children, we're extra sensitive, and we only force her out if there were eidim about the Avir. U'maiduchki de Rav lukim masnisen b'yesh labanim, b'yesh la'edim. What forced Rav to learn the Mishnah in this way? Rav gets up and says, look, you know what? This halacha only applies when there were Edom. And we're explained, because we're speaking that there are children, and therefore we're extra sensitive. We don't force her out, unless there are Edom. So children and Edom go together. And that's how Rav learned the Mishnah. How do you know the Mishnah is speaking about that case? There are children, and therefore we need the Edom. But time of the Edom, Afkina, and only because we have the Edom, we force her out. If we have no Edom about the Averolim, Afkina, we don't force her out. How does Rav know that the Mishnah is speaking about this type of equation? Look, well, why can't he just simply learn that the Mishnah is speaking about She'en Labanim? There are no children from the first husband. Afkav like Edom. In that case, we reckon with the rumor. Remember, there are no children being affected. It's just a question of allowing her to marry or stay married to Levi. In this case, even just a rumor can force her out. How did Rav know was speaking that there were Edom and the children? Amar Rav, I'll tell you, Masnisen Kashisi. Because the wording in the Mishnah seemed difficult to Rav. My area the Tani Haitzi'ua. Mishnah speaks about a Nitan al Eishas Ish. His fellow interacted with an Eishas Ish. Vayitzi'ua Metachas Yodai. And she was forced out of her husband's hands. Why does it say Hoytzi'ua? They forced her out. Listen, he hates Sia. Should say, well, he gave her a get by his own initiative. Ella, call Hitzia Bebezin. Hitzia means she was forced to leave. Bezin forced her. U Bezin Beidin with a mafke. The only time Bezin forces an isha out of her husband's hands is if there are Edom. So Rav saw clearly that the Mishnah is speaking about Edom. Why would you need Edom? Because there are children here. And therefore we're extra sensitive. And the only reason why we reckon with this rumor is because there are Edom. So that's approach number one in the Gemara. There's no really substantive machlokes between Rav and the other Shitas. At the end of the day, they all agree a rumor is sufficient reason for concern. So Rachel, who was married to Reuven, at that point there was a rumor circulating about her and Levi interacting. If Reuven divorced her and she went ahead and married Levi, Yaitzi, he has to separate, because in effect he's substantiating that rumor and solidifying the fact that he did an aver with her, which makes her usher on him as well. So even a rumor can generate that concern. But if there are children here, Reuven and Rachel had children, now we have to be extra careful. We don't want to stigmatize those children, pretend that there was an avera and mamzeres on those children. We only apply this halacha if there were actual Edom, and we have no choice. We have actual witnesses that there was an avera between Rachel and Levi, while she was still married to Reuven. In this case, we will apply the halacha, but without Edom, we won't. Now comes another approach in the Gemara. It's actually machlekes between Rav, who says the halacha of afal b'shekonas yoytzi, that he has to separate, is only when there are Edom, whereas the other brises indicate that even without Edom, even a koil, a rumor, will be sufficient to generate and apply this halacha of konas yoytzi. A Levi has to get rid of him. Pivoyseima, another pshat, hanimas nice Rebbe. Both these brises, which indicate that even a koil creates trouble, that's Rebbe's shita, the sanya. Rebbe holds that even an impression, a strong impression of impropriety, generates halachas. Whereas Rav holds, only Edom will do it and nothing else. Where is Rebbe? The sanya. Roichel yoytzei. You notice this peddler leaving the home. V'isha chageres besiner. And the woman there is buttoning up, is tucking in. Doesn't look too good. Amar Rebbe. It's an impression of kiur. It looks inappropriate. She has to leave her husband. Or another example is Roik Lamalam and Akili finds spit on the ceiling above the bed. It appears that there's some improper behavior between herself and a stranger. She has to leave her husband. Another example, Min Olam Hafuchim Tachas Amita, you find overturned shoes under the bed. So he was trying to mask his presence. He overturned his shoes, so he doesn't have that identifying footprint. Amar Rebbe, once again, looks improper. She has to leave her husband. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Lechsi, the man, if you find the shoes, take a look and see whose it is. He found the print, the mark on the floor. And you see it's overturned shoes, which indicates that somebody was here and did not want to make his presence known. In any case, Rebbe holds even mechur hadavar, even something which is gives an impression of impropriety, that in itself is reason for teitzei. And Rav disagrees. Rav holds only Edom can do that. So what's halacha l'maisa? V'ilchas hakavaseh the Rav, we follow Rav, Edom do the trick. V'ilchas hakavaseh the Rebbe, that even an impression is problematic. Well, now we have a stira, kasha, hilchas halachas. Which way do we follow? Like kasha, the answer is like this. It depends on the circumstance. Depends how potent and powerful the rumor was. Oh, because of the pasuk. If the rumor circulating was an intermittent rumor, was up and down, start and stop, that coil does not have potency. Oh, because of the pasuk. But if it was a continuous, uninterrupted coil of impropriety, then we have to reckon with it. Call of the lay pasuk. If it's a continuous, ongoing rumor, v'leke edim k'rebi. Even without edim, we follow Rebbe. And they have to suffer the consequence. Call it the pasuk, we can edim karab, but if it's a stop and go rumor, in that case, only if we have edim do we reckon with it in accordance with Shita's Rav. Okay, let's do a brief chazar of today's daf. Who's meant to do Yibum? Says the Mishnah Mitzvah Bagadol Yabim Im Katan Akatan Zacha. It's based on the pasuk Gavaya Bachar Shatelid Yokam Al Shemachiv Vloye Machish Ma Israel. And we learn Bachar isn't necessarily the Bachar. We prove it from the fact that there would be a tzad that Eishes Achiv Shloye Beilami does Yibum even though he's the younger brother. So rather we learn Bachar means the oldest one around. Mitzvah Begodo. We also learn that only a Yavama who is not an islandist does Yibum, only the wife of a man who was not a Saris, who could have potentially had offspring, he generates Yibum. And bottom line is, Yakim al Shem Achiv doesn't mean you name the child after the departed fellow, rather means that the Yavam is Zayche in the inheritance and the estate of his departed brother. He's compared to Bachar. He has the same halacha, only gets Muchsuk and not Ro'i. We have a Mishnah where we learn that meant to take care not to confirm and substantiate any inappropriate rumors circulating about ourselves. If a fellow is subject of a rumor that he interacted with a shifcha or with a non-Jew, and they were set free or became Jewish, they should not be marrying him, but with the Eved, Kanas Layoiti, doesn't have to separate. As opposed to by Eshes Ish, where if indeed the facts are true that he interacted with an Eshes Ish, she's also to him. In this case, even Kanas Yoitzi. Now, what are the circumstances behind the story? What are we dealing with? A rumor? Edom? So we have two approaches in the Gemara. In the first approach, there's no machlekes. It just depends on whether there are children or not. If there are children in the equation, we have to be extra careful with them, and we only substantiate the rumor if there are Edom. But otherwise, even a koil will do. According to the second lashon in the Gemara, it's machlekes tana. Rebbe holds even a koil is sufficient grounds for applying this halacha, whereas according to Rav, we only listen to Edom, and the bottom line is we pass them like both. The Gemara says, well, it depends how strong the koil is. If it's a continuous koil, we reckon with it, but otherwise, you need dafke Edom. Haslacha Rav, and all the best to you.